State of Suspense.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. This whole government bailout thing is playing out like one of those movies when you're sure the ending is just around the corner, but nope, more drama, no telling how it's going to end. Around 6 Eastern last night, the White House and Democrats signed onto a deal to rescue the U.S. financial system. House Republicans stretched out that scene another 2.5 hours. That's how long it took them to get behind the agreement. This morning, still lots of questions. As Marketplace continues its coverage of the financial crisis, our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale starts us off with what's in the compromise.
Negotiators say they've added protections to the $700 billion rescue plan to keep taxpayers from footing the bill. House Democrat Barney Frank says ultimately the banking industry will cover any losses.
At the end of 5 years, the president must send us an accounting. And if there is a shortfall, the president must send us a proposal to collect that shortfall, not all in 1 year, in a reasonable period, from the institutions and industries that benefited.
To lower the potential cost, the deal gives banks the option of buying government-run insurance for their bad debts. Republicans insisted on the provision. The compromise also doles out the $700 billion in installments. Initially, Treasury can spend only half that much buying up bad debts, and Congress would then have the chance to block additional money. Despite warnings of an economic catastrophe if Congress doesn't act, many members from both the right and the left say they cannot vote for the bailout. Daryl Issa is a Republican from California.
I expect to vote against this bill. From what I've seen of it, it does not do what the American people are asking to do, which is to protect their tax dollars.
Ohio Democrat Marcy Kaptur is rarely on the same side with Congressman Issa.
We are told we will have a bill, a $1 trillion bill to review soon, and have less than 24 hours with no regular hearings to try to vote on this.
House leaders plan to vote later today. If it passes, the Senate expects to take it up on Wednesday. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
What we're not seeing so far today is a vote of confidence for the plan. The Nikkei was down 1.3%, the third straight day of losses. In Hong Kong, shares were down more than 4%. In Europe, not only is there a caution on the bailout, but crumbling banks, more specifically nationalizations for Dutch-based Fortis and a British-based mortgage company. Shares in Europe are down about 3%. The Dow is at 11,143 after adding 121 points Friday. So how is Wall Street going to react when markets open this morning? Mike Moran, chief economist at Daiwa Securities America, is up early wondering the same. Mike, good to have you with us. The thought is, with a bailout in place, liquidity is finally going to come open. You think that's going to happen?
Certainly it's going to help. I don't know if it's going to completely break the logjam. We simply have to wait and see how interested institutions are in participating. There are a couple of things in there, though, that might discourage institutions. For example, there are instances when the Treasury Department might want some type of equity ownership for the taxpayer. There are some limits on executive compensation, and that might keep institutions from participating in the program. And of course, if they don't participate, then it's not going to help the situation.
From what I understand, though, it seems like the restrictions on CEO pay could be navigated by companies fairly easily the way it's set up right now.
I read through the legislation quickly last night, so it's not perfectly clear exactly what the limits on executive pay are, but they are not extreme. It relates only to the top five executives, and it only kicks in after so many assets have been sold to the Treasury Department. So it's not onerous, but it could prevent some institutions from being active in the program.
Let's talk about the assets for a moment. What about pricing these securities? How much of a challenge is that going to be?
That is a huge, huge challenge, and it's the most contentious and interesting issue related to this. If the Treasury pays a price that's low, the taxpayer could make a lot of money on this program. On the other hand, if you pay a low price, you're not going to be helping the financial situation. If the Treasury pays a higher price for that, you'd be more likely to break the logjam in financial markets, but the taxpayer could end up with a sizable loss on its hand.
Well, assuming that this works, as these companies shore up their balance sheets, how will this translate to the housing market?
Well, what's likely to happen is the balance sheets of financial institutions will become stronger, and they'll be more willing to lend to potential homeowners. I would say, though, that this is not going to be a magical solution. We're not going to see the housing market improve instantaneously. We probably have to see housing prices come down a little bit more from where they are right now, so it's going to be tight for some time yet.
Mike Moran is chief economist with Daiwa Securities America. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, helping America go green. You can calculate your carbon savings at publictransportation.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
The credit market's in such bad shape now, there's even trouble for investments once considered solid, including a type of lending that's thrived for hundreds of years. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
They've been around since the hits were being turned out by Mozart. In 1763, Frederick the Great introduced a concept known today as the covered bond. The bank issuing the bond keeps the original mortgage on its own balance sheet. So, music to the ears of investors, if that underlying loan goes bad, the bank is on the hook to the bondholder, and presumably that leads to more responsible lending. They're mainly a European invention, but there's a push to use the idea here as one way to stimulate the mortgage market. Now, though, even the European covered bond market is having its worst month in almost a decade. Still, banking industry consultant Bert Ely says that's no reason to dismiss the concept.
They're undergoing a stress test now, and you know, assuming they survive the stress, which I think they will, that actually will build longer-term investor confidence in them.
For now, though, confidence in the credit market has sunk so low, investors are shunning even a concept that's been proven over more than two centuries. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
What concepts are you shunning right now? Let us know at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks a lot for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.